to be looking at this thought of Jesus the King, John chapter 12, verses 12 through verse number 19. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have been looking for the Messiah to come. They're probably expecting a great military leader, perhaps like King David was, one who would overthrow all their enemies and restore Israel to its former glory. No doubt they did not expect their king to first appear as a humble carpenter. They never expected him that when he showed up, he would not have any weapons, he would not have an army, nor would he have any kind of political power or clout with the Roman government. And no doubt they certainly thought that he never would die on a Roman cross. Throughout the earthly life of Jesus the King, they were given evidence on top of evidence that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, the sinless Son of God. He repeatedly proved his identity by his miracles, by his lineage, by the place of his birth in Bethlehem, and by the signs and wonders that are too numerous to mention. As a matter of fact, John writes this in John 21 in verse 25, "And there also were many other things which Jesus did, that which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written." Amen. But in spite of all these evidence, they refused to believe that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. Time after time, he revealed himself to them. Time after time, they rejected him. They rejected him so that John puts it this way. In John chapter 1 in verse number 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." In this 12th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus once again is about ready to reveal his identity to the nation of Israel. And they'll be given one final opportunity to receive Jesus as the King. This chapter really does record the details of the last days of Jesus Christ's public ministry. And it paints a portrait of Jesus that I want us to see this morning. And that simply is this, of Jesus the King. In these verses, we'll see, number one, who he is. We'll see what he did. And thirdly, what he carried out. And as we consider these truths about Jesus the King, I want to challenge you this morning to examine your hearts and see where you stand right now regarding Jesus the King. Have you received him as your Savior? Have you born again? Have you put your faith in him to be your Savior? Or perhaps you have been putting it off for a number of weeks now. And maybe if you are saved, could you say that he is the absolute King over your heart today? Is he the Lord over your life? And then will everyone allow God's word to speak to your heart this morning as we consider together this thought of Jesus the King? So let's stand this morning as we give respect to the reading of God's word. We'll read in John chapter 12, verses 12 through verse number 19, and then we'll have a season of prayer as we think on this thought of Jesus the King. Jesus the King. Notice what it says in John 12, beginning in verse 12. "On the next day, much people that went to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of the palm trees and went forth to meet them and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.' And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, the King cometh sitting on an ass's colt.' These things understand not the disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" And I say to that, glory, hallelujah, amen. Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heart and knee before you this morning, Father, we pray, Lord, to begin just to look at this thought of Jesus the King, Father. Oh, God, I pray that everyone that's saved and born again here this morning would already have a good understanding, Father, of yes, he is the King. But, Father, is he truly placed upon the throne of our hearts? Oh, Father, so many times that we put other things from our heart. God, we put our family and our work and everything that we're involved in this world, Father, instead of placing him upon the throne of our heart. Father, I pray for someone that could be here this morning, doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Oh, Father, I pray that this might be the day that they repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. For he alone, Father, is the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we pray now you'll bless this time as we gather together this morning. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Notice, first of all, this morning, notice his presentation in verses 12 through verse number 19. In verses 12 through verse number 19, we find that Jesus, the king, is presenting himself as Israel's expected king. Notice in verse 15, if you're taking notes, the method of his presentation. Here we find that he declares his kingship by ascribing the prophecy of Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9 to himself. That verse says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding on an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Just then, as Jesus quotes Zechariah 9 in verse number 9 and verse 15, we find this: "Fear not, daughters of Zion. Behold, the king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." So we see that Jesus was proving his identity by fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy. He's identifying with that, and he's saying, "This is me." Notice his method of presentation, first of all, to the Romans. When the Romans saw him riding a donkey, they probably thought it was literally a joke. After all, if you think about this, what kind of king rides on the lowly donkey? That was not the normal thing. The king would not ride on a donkey. He'd ride on a great stallion. And so the Romans did not see him as a threat as the Jewish people saw him. His method of presentation to the Romans, but also to the Jewish leaders. Many of the Jewish leaders that were there that day probably wondered why that he was riding on a lowly donkey. After all, wouldn't the Messiah be riding on a mighty war horse? Even the disciples didn't understand the significance of what they were witnessing there. Notice verse 16 again. "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him." Well, we see the method of his presentation also, thirdly, to the crowd that gathered. I think that many of the ordinary people in the crowd that day seemed to have a good understanding of what was happening, especially when Jesus quoted Zechariah 9 and verse number 9 and verse number 15. That clearly cemented to the people of Jerusalem who Jesus said he was. And when they saw him entering into the city on that particular day, on that specific day, they knew precisely what was happening. Jesus presented himself as the prophet said he would do, that he would come, the Messiah, as a king. Well, we see the method of the presentation, but notice secondly this morning, notice the moment of his presentation. As we think about Jesus making that triumphal ride down into Jerusalem on the day that the world would call Palm Sunday, his entrance going into Jerusalem coincides with Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 and verse number 27. I wish we had time really to unpack that, but we do not have time this morning to do that. But I encourage you to look at that, study that, and understand that. But I think we can put it all into a nutshell, understanding this, that Jesus presented himself as the King of the Jews on the exact day when the prophet foretold that he would do that. Simply stated, we could say this, that Jesus came as the king as prophesied by the prophets of old. He did exactly what God said he would do, and he accomplished that in a grand manner. Well, we see the method and the moment of the presentation. But notice in verses 12 and 13, but also in verse number 19, notice the multitudes at the presentation. And these verses literally tell us this. The Bible said much people came out to praise Jesus. And the problem was that most people had a really a false concept of Jesus as an earthly king and the Savior of man. They saw him as someone who was going to come and bring all good things to the earth. They saw him as someone that was going to overthrow the Roman rule. They saw him as someone that was going to restore Israel back to its former glory. I found it interesting that the Bible says that the people, notice this, went forth to meet Jesus. They went forth to welcome Jesus. They weren't just sitting around waiting for him to come. The Bible said they got up from where they were and they went forth to meet him. And when they heard about him, they actually went out to meet him. You see, they were anxious to see this king. They were anxious to see this king that was going to come and rule and reign over them. The people who saw Jesus entering the city understood this. They understood the implication of exactly what Jesus was doing that day. So, because they understood the implication of it, because they understood the prophecy in Zechariah, they cried out, the Bible said, Hosanna. That word Hosanna means save now or save we pray. It comes literally from Psalms 118, verses 25 through verse number 26. The Bible also says in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 8, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off trees and strawed them in the way. You see, palm branches were a symbol of victory and a symbol of triumph. And if you were to look at some of the coins of the nation of Israel and look at some of their symbols and the symbolic things that they do, they have this palm branches that were there. And they were a symbol of victory and a symbol of triumph. And they waved these palm branches triumphantly. They laid some down on the road and they took their garments off and laid them down as Jesus rode that donkey into Jerusalem victoriously into that great city. I think the point is simply this, that people welcomed Jesus as a great conqueror. They welcomed him into Jerusalem that day, not only as a great conqueror, but also they saw him as a mighty deliverer. But Jesus came in peace that day. He did not come as a judge or a conqueror of the Romans nor anybody else, at least not right then and not right now. Right now, he is the Savior of all men. But later, when he comes back, he'll come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all men. Just think about this for just a moment. As the Lord begins to descend down into the city of Jerusalem, the people began to praise and worship him, crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But a few moments just prior to that, in Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through verse number 44, we find that Jesus Christ is weeping. Turn in your Bibles, I want you to read this, Luke 19, verse number 41. Luke 19, verse number 41 this morning. Notice what the Bible says. So while they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, we pray thee, we find just a few moments before that Jesus is weeping. Notice what it said in Luke 19 and verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. Notice the wording, and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even now, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children with thee. And thou shalt not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Well, why was Jesus crying? He was crying. Why was he weeping? Because he understood that judgment was coming to the city of Jerusalem. Judgment was coming to the nation of Israel. And Jesus is speaking literally about the fall of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in about 70 AD. And understanding this, because of his miracles, especially the miracle from our text of Lazarus being raised from the dead, and because of Jesus, the king's great public appeal, the people thought that Jesus would be the one that would overthrow their oppressors, that would overthrow the Romans. These people were looking for a king. But in just a few days, these same people who came and cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, would join the crowd and cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And while they expected their Messiah to come as a king, they never expected him to die. He came unto his own, and just as the prophet said, and his own received him not. And just as Zechariah the prophet had predicted in Zechariah 13 in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Well, we see today, beginning of this message, Jesus Christ presented as the King of the nation of Israel. We understood his methods. We understood the moment of his presentation directly described by the prophet Daniel. And we see the multitudes that were there that day. One moment they were praising him. The next moment they were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, and crucify him." Let me ask you this question as we close this evening. How do you see Jesus the King? How do you personally see him as the King? And if you say, "Yes, he is the King of my life. Yes, I have trusted in Christ as my personal Savior." Is he placed upon the throne of your heart? Is he there ruling and reigning every day of your life? Through everything that we say, for everything that we do, everything that we see, and everything that we accomplish in this life, is it because he is ruling and reigning in our life? If not, why not? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,